Next to the stage, Chicago actress and podcaster, part of the comedy, horror, Clerk and Dagger show at Machine Culture Collective, where Brandon also podcasts, also a former member of the Halcyon Theater, Kelly O'Palco!
Gonna mention this, but when Mike brought up All About Eve, when I was in high school, a friend's mom told me, you know, you look like that famous actress, and I went, who? And she said, Bette Davis, and I was 16, I'm like, I don't know who that is, so I googled it, I'm like, oh, great, I'm glad you think I look like a 40-year-old woman, when I'm 16, and then when I got to college and started dyeing my hair red, I would go to fraternity parties, and girls would say, you know who you look like? You look like that girl from the boat movie. I later figured out they meant Kate Winslet. Thanks. I am not the first person who said this tonight, but I love movies. Eric messaged me about the theme of this show and said, do you want to participate? The theme is movies. And I said, yes, I love movies. Love in all caps, period. Movies, period. So if you don't like my story, you can blame Eric. And I started to think, what am I going to talk about? Because all I really talk about is movies and television and comedy with people that I know. I was out to dinner a few weeks ago with a good friend of mine from college, and after I went down a very long tangent about the people in the upcoming DuckTales reboot. he took his drink and chuckled and said, it's like if the Internet Movie Database was a person that I could drink with. So I've been trying to think, what story could I tell tonight that would be different from all the other times that I talk about movies? Because legit, after this, if you want to grab another beer and talk about the most perfect movie ever made, Die Hard, we can talk about it. Yes! It is perfect. I usually hang out with people, and after I ask the customary questions of how is your day, how are rehearsals, how is work, my next question is, did you see what movie's going to be adapted by the Sci-Fi Network? Or did you see the latest special on Netflix from so-and-so? I'm also one of those people who will unashamedly judge you if you haven't seen a classic movie. And I'm weird, so my classic movies are not things like Raging Bull or Schindler's List, but if you have never seen things like Jawbreaker or Wet Hot American Summer or Clue, if you've not seen those movies, you can get the fuck out of my house. I will not have you in there. So instead of just talking about all the movies that I love, I figured I should explore where my love of movies came from. So if you bear with me, this is going to be like a kind of like Godfather 2 situation where we're going to go back in time and like explore the origins. I am also Italian, so this metaphor is going to work on a couple different levels. And one of my mom's favorite things to tell me when she hears about relatives that are going to piss off the rest of the family is to look at me and say, you don't go against the family, Fredo. Which is weird, but it's appropriate because my mom is the reason that I love television and movies so much. I was an extremely bright and eccentric child. Whenever I got Dean's High Honors in college, my mom would remind me that when I was 4 and about to enter kindergarten, they almost didn't let me in because I could read and I could write, but I could not skip on a straight line. That almost held me back a full year. She knew I was a very curious child, so right when I was getting older and asking questions, cable TV and VHS players came out so she could shut me up for a few hours by turning those on. And she pretty much gave me free rein on whatever I wanted to watch. When we would go to the monthly visit to the movie store, I burned through their copies of Beauty and the Beast and Nightmare Before Christmas and every young white girl's favorite movie, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I would take her copies of Entertainment Weekly and blaze through them and read about all the celebrities and movies and ask her, do you know this person? Do you like what they're in? What should I be watching? Do you like what they're doing? And she let me see whatever I wanted within reason. I still was very young. But shit got real in 2002, you guys, because that was the year VH1 put out I Love the 80s. My mom and I loved this show. We watched comedians and stars of bygone decades make fun and mock all of the pop culture of the 1980s. And it was amazing. They would have marathons every single weekend on VH1 because they didn't have anything else to play. And we, no joke, missed Saturday Mass because we were involved in a marathon of I Love the 80s. I distinctly remember my mother looking at me and saying, "Oh, crap! We were supposed to leave for Mass during 1986. This show became my cultural spark notes. It encapsulated every big hit and big thing I needed to learn about. So when it came up on the TV guide, I could mark it and watch it and learn and be a part of what people had been watching and talking about. And my mom also enjoyed it because not only was it funny, it was something to watch with me that was funny, and it was a way to immediately share with her daughter all of the things that she loved when she was a young adult. VH1 then also made a sequel to I Love the 80s, and they also made ones for the 70s, 90s, 2000s, the new millennium. Toys, and I think they made one for another obscure object. But when all of those came out, we devoured them immediately. As I got older, my ambitions grew to be bigger than the suburbs that I lived in. I moved out of home to go to college downtown, a whole 20-minute drive from where I grew up. One thing that my mom always repeated in between the tears about her baby growing up and moving out was that she would have no one to talk to. I didn't really understand what she meant by that until I started socializing in college and I met other people who were more than happy to have lengthy conversations about David Lynch films or all the guest stars that have been on Reno 911. And I found it comforting because I had found other nerds like me. I could talk to other people in this big, scary world. But then it also made me think about the fact that my mom had this passion that was so important to her and unique to her, unique to me and her, to us. And now that I was gone, she would be experiencing most of pop culture alone now, which is the first thing she'd done in a long time. So we'll flash forward back to the present day. Due to the current political climate and the state of this country, I find it difficult to call home a lot and catch up with relatives. I am from Ohio, and I have several family members who have made it very clear to me where they stand politically and how they feel about my stance on political issues. And I think about my mom back home. She's not like Michael Corleone sitting alone lakeside on Lake Erie or anything. Like, it's not that weird or sad. But I do make an effort to call her and text her to check in to hear about the DVD she got from the library because she's afraid to use Netflix. Whenever the Entertainment Weekly comes on Fridays, I always check in because sometimes her favorite show is on the cover, and I ask her all the things she liked about the Outlander article because there aren't a lot of people to talk to back home about it that know, but I know what her favorite shows are. Thank you.
Hey, Eric. Good job, Eric. Yeah. I actually have the same problem with my mom. My stepdad's a pastor, and my mom was a pastor, and it's been, I haven't really talked to my mom much since November. For that very reason, it's tough because I'm relatively certain she voted for Trump, and I can't bring myself to talk to her about it because I know it's just going to be awful. Yeah. But on the real though, DuckTales is fucking amazing, y'all. Fucking watch it. It's free on YouTube. That show was good. Okay, sorry. Exactly. Most infectious song ever.